Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to the Golf Unfiltered Podcast, your source for in-depth interviews with the biggest names, brands, and personalities in golf. Our mission? To keep you informed and help you enjoy the game even more.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Golf Unfiltered Podcast. I'm your host, Adam, from golfunfiltered.com. Be sure to follow us all over social media at Golf Unfiltered. Send me an email, adam@golfunfiltered.com, with any comments or any topics that you'd like us to cover in future episodes. It's just me and you this week. We are on Easter Sunday. Happy Easter to all of you who celebrate. I'm recording this in the morning before I get going and do the family thing. Nikki, Dan, and Trevor are doing their family things as well, I would imagine. Just going to get a quick episode out. Lot of interesting golf stuff. Golf hashtag content going on out there. And I will say, today I'm going to talk about the Bryson video because I have a lot to say about it. And I think I have a lot to say about it just right off the bat. I'm going to get this out there. Not because I'm some Bryson hater or a LIV Golf hater. This is to everyone who follows me on TikTok calling me both. I mean, granted, I'm not a fan of LIV. And I'm not necessarily a fan of Bryson's, but I, you know, the guy obviously is extremely talented. What I am not a fan of is when he goes out and he tries to just double down on this scientist persona that he continuously just proves to everyone that he is anything but. So I've got a few things I want to say about the video that he just recorded and posted on his YouTube channel, budding YouTube superstar, Bryson DeChambeau. Right off the bat, though, I want to remind everyone, around Masters time, my co-host Nikki Dunnigan does a fantastic series. It's a mini-series called Memoirs from Magnolia Lane. We're on our third season now. If you're subscribed to this podcast feed, you will get those episodes directly to wherever you listen to your podcasts. And this week, next week, the week of the Masters, season three, is going to be the best yet. The guests that she has pulled together is just incredible. You're going to love it. You're going to love it. And if you're, this is the first time you're hearing of the Memoirs from Magnolia Lane series, what it is it's the Masters from the patron's point of view. Nikki has done a fantastic job the last 2 years bringing that to us. She hosts them, she coordinates them, she does all the things, and she does a great job at it. So please tune into that. You're going to love it. I can't believe some of the guests that she got. And it's just getting better and better and better. She does it, like I said, a few times already. She does a great job with it. I think you're really going to like it. So be sure to, if you haven't already, subscribe to this. Tell your friends about it. We're also going to have it on our YouTube channel. You're really going to like it. I can't say that enough. So I want to put that out there. First episode drops the Monday of the Masters. And then Tuesday and Wednesday, episodes 2 and 3 will drop. Stay tuned, folks. Stay tuned. All right. Let's talk about this Bryson thing. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, Bryson DeChambeau, he actually has a really popular YouTube channel, which good for him. You know, he does a great job on there. He puts a lot of different pieces of content. I've actually watched and I've learned a few things about the golf swing from him. There's no debate that the man is a smart guy. There's no debate that he studies the game like crazy, much more than I ever do or you ever do probably. And most others, maybe to a fault, whenever you start talking about The Golfing Machine, that book, which is probably the most complex book ever written on the golf swing, you are in a different stratosphere with golf nerddom. But he did it, and he likes to express a lot of that. But his video that he just posted was in regard to the golf ball rollback. In the video, and I'm going to paraphrase here, go out and please watch it for the full context. He plays nine holes with two different golf balls, and he's got his trusty, you know, Foresight ball launch monitor with him the entire way. He plays with a modern day 2024 Titleist Pro V1. I believe it's a left dash is what he says in the video. And then he also plays with a older, quote unquote, rolled back Nike golf ball. I think it's a Nike 1, if you remember those. I believe it was like 2008. Somebody keep me honest on that. Well, he plays nine holes and then he, you know, spits out the shot data from his Foresight on every shot that he hits. His argument is that the older rolled back golf ball is going to cost him some horrible amount of speed and yardage, and he's very unhappy about it. Now, what he did show, to his credit, he did show that there was a significant drop in ball speed, especially off the tee. Now, keep in mind, this is Bryson DeChambeau. He's a freak in nature. We all know he got bulked up and all that stuff. Almost killed himself drinking 8 protein shakes a day, by the way. Don't do that. He admitted as much that was a mistake. And he showed the numbers. So let's say that he was averaging around one, or he could hit above 190 ball speed, which is incredibly fast with the modern golf ball. And he did that a couple times. There's this one particular scene in the video where he's at a short par 4 and he's going for the green off the tee, something that he is able to do. I believe it was like 340 or 350 yards or something like that. And when he hit the modern day golf ball, he exceeded 190 miles per hour. He landed the ball on the green, flew the green. But he also did the same thing as far as where the ball landed with the rolled back golf ball. It was slower. I think he only hit about like 180 something, which is still above the PGA Tour, or I would imagine the LIV Golf Tour average for ball speed, by the way. And Bryson did also say that the modern day golf ball probably would have rolled out more had he caught it flush. I think he said he hit that one thin. So anyway, he goes on throughout the video to show other examples like that. Here's the issue. And I talked about this on our TikTok account as well. And I've got a lot of hate for this. People keep telling me, who cares about the outcome? He proved his point. The ball is slower. I'm going to say that again. Who cares about the outcome? The ball was slower. I couldn't even say that with a straight face. Folks, we're talking about golf here. The outcome is the only thing that matters. In this particular low sample size, one scene in a video, Bryson was putting for eagle on a par 4 after flying the green on both, or at least landing it on the green. That was the outcome. That is all that matters. A better argument for him would have been something like, oh, I can't reach a certain thing anymore. I can't hit a certain yardage anymore. It is taking that away from me. Folks, this is a guy that hits, I think, 8 iron from 200 yards. It might actually be less than that. So, following Bryson's logic here, which is a slippery slope, I will admit, he might have to hit 7 iron from 200 yards with the quote-unquote rolled back golf ball. Can we just let that sink in for a second? Because this is exactly the argument that opponents to the rollback want you to believe, that the outcome doesn't matter. If they're not hitting the metrics on a ball launch monitor, this is somehow a hardship for them. Now, Bryson DeChambeau is not a weak player. He is not someone that just kind of puffs the ball out there off the tee. He is not one of the shorter drivers on any professional tour. He is the exact opposite of that. He is going to be fine if average Joe, if there is ever such a thing, PGA Tour player, for example, were to make a video like this and were to show us, hey, I can no longer hold a green because I have to hit a hybrid instead of a 5-iron into this green, that would have been a better video to make. That would actually have caused me to pause and be like, maybe they have a point here. It's not to put, you know where I'm going with this, folks. I don't even have to say anymore. So, as I said, this is the argument that they want us to believe. They want us to believe that because there's just this big travesty now that they are going to lose a few yards off the tee and a few miles per hour, that is somehow changing the game completely for them. When Bryson, at least in this video, goes and shows that it actually won't matter for him. Now, let's just call out the obvious things. Obviously, it's one golf hole in a practice round at a course. I don't even remember what the course was, but it's not Augusta. And I'm sure if you were to take that experience that he showed on YouTube and were to put that on every other golf course that these guys play, there's probably going to be a better argument to be made. But this wasn't it. This wasn't it. And he actually, at one point in the video, he actually says, and I'm paraphrasing, he says, oh, they landed in the same spot. The difference was just going to be the rollout. I don't know. Am I wrong here? Because this is something that if anything, Bryson disproved his complaint with this video. Mike Stachura from Golf Digest, he's been on the show a few times, most recently to talk about the rollback itself. He wrote a really good article in response to this video. So Bryson, if your whole intent was to get engagement on this thing, which I'm sure it was, good job, because people are talking about it, myself included, and Mike Stachura as well. Mike goes into much more detail about how this video proved nothing. He actually talks about the different technologies in golf balls that have evolved over the years. He talks about specifically the technology in the two types of golf balls that Bryson was using. And he also says the same thing that I'm basically saying now. It won't matter. The outcome basically is the same. And in this instance, Bryson still has an eagle putt. If this seems to kind of be a common refrain right now, or a common stance for most of what's happening in professional golf right now. If players were just to come out and be honest with us, and say, you know what, you are taking away something from me, which means I have to then focus on something else like shot making, or I have to worry more about spin numbers, or I have to worry more about catching every shot on the center of the club face, which most of these guys do, that would go a lot farther than trying to show, hey, look, the ball is going to be slower. We know it's going to be slower. That's the whole point. Did we think that that wasn't going to happen, that people weren't going to notice? The bigger thing, like I said earlier, not to repeat myself, would be to show how the outcome changes. This was not the point that Bryson was intending to make in the video that he posted. You know, this argument has been said time and again. We'll hear more about it leading up and to when the rollback eventually happens. Shot making, shot shaping, and control over your shot is going to come at even higher of a premium now for these elite players. They will be able to adapt. I think some of these players, perhaps even Bryson, they're worried about being exposed for what they actually are. In Bryson's case, he doesn't have to go the path that he went down. We've talked about this years ago when he went on his whole bulk up escapade. This is a guy who was an accomplished player, U.S. amateur champion, major champion. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to go and just chase distance forever. What he wanted to do was he wanted to take advantage from a physical standpoint. He wanted to go the bomb and gouge route. He knew that his strengths, and there's inherently nothing wrong about this, by the way. I want to make that abundantly clear, okay? But Bryson decided to start building his game in a silo. He was going to only focus on those things, distance and his wedge game. Very good putter. Decent to better than decent, maybe even above average with his short game. Excellent off the tee. And it was going to work for him because he had mapped it all out. And he's not the only one. I'm just using him as the example. There are other players that did exactly what I'm talking about too. He mapped out his playing schedule. He knew what courses he was going to be able to do this at. Actually, going out and executing that was a different story. Remember when he said that Augusta National was going to play to a par 68 or something for him because he just thought he was going to overpower the course. That wasn't the case because the other two things failed him as well, the short game and putting. But he started developing his game in a silo, and he wanted to simplify his training. He wanted to simplify his practice. And again, who wouldn't want to do that? And I'm not even talking about golf. I'm talking about any walk of life, what you do for your job, for example. Don't you want to do something a little bit easier or make your job as easy as possible? Well, for reasons that we can all debate, the USGA and the RNA decided, you know what, we're going to make things a little bit more difficult for, and they have their reasons. I've talked about that at length. Bryson is upset, and players like him are upset that they have to go back to the drawing board now. That all of that work that they did up to this point, now they have to adjust. And so instead of just embracing that and shifting, which I could imagine is really frustrating for them, but instead of just adjusting, they're going to continue to complain about it. I don't know why. They're not going to change anything, the governing bodies. I mean, they've already made their decision. They're going to do this. Just for the sake of the thought experiment, I guess playing devil's advocate here. When the rollback happens for professionals, which is, I believe, 2025, it's going to be before everybody else. And these tournaments go on and we start seeing things, like I said earlier, players aren't able to hold greens. The spin is just isn't there for golf balls or whatever the case might be. If they're spinning golf balls off the green, I don't know if that's going to be the case either. But my point being is that if the outcome of a shot is directly correlated to the equipment that they're using, that's going to be a better argument than, oh, I'm not hitting it as fast. See, and this is why it was, in my opinion, a smart move by golf's governing bodies, because they knew that speed is just one of the metrics out of many that contribute to the outcome. They're not taking away everything from these players. I think that's the other side of this argument. And I forget what classification of argument this would fall under. I'm just going to use red herring, but I believe it's probably something else. Ad hominem? I don't know. Somebody's much smarter than me. Email me that. adam@golfunfiltered.com. What type of argument are these players making? It's a false argument. They're trying to say that because the distance is being taken away, everything else is going to suffer. And that's just not true. It's not true. And Bryson showed that in his video. Really quick, it's sponsor time. I want to thank my friends over at Cog Hill Golf and Country Club. They've been a longtime supporter of Golf Unfiltered. I go out there. You guys know I go out there all the time to practice, to play. They've had some interesting renovations over at Dubs Dread. You know, that's the big course, the course where Tiger played and all, you know, the BMW Championship, Western Open, all that. My hope is later this year, me and probably our buddy Chris McEwen are going to go out there and show you what those renovations are. So folks in the Chicagoland area and beyond, if you want to go and play Dubs Dread this year, you're going to get a different taste than perhaps you may have had in the past. So thanks to our sponsors over there. They're great. They've got a great facility over there, and it's actually at a premium now in terms of, you know, the importance of those golf courses, those four courses at Cock Hill, because there were two courses under the same name, Glen Eagles, actually closed by me. So there's 36 holes of golf that are just gone. So tee times might be a little tough, but at any rate, thanks to Cock Hill for being a sponsor. Mizuno Golf continues to be a sponsor for us. If you went to our YouTube channel, you saw that I got fit into the new Mizuno 245s this year for my irons. I also got the new wedges from Mizuno, and I also have been trying the new Mizuno ST Max driver. And boy, I'll tell you, that is a sneaky good driver. Very fast, which I guess is, you know, not to be hypocritical here, but that is a very fast driver. Especially for us amateurs here that don't hit it as far as Bryson does. What I'm most impressed about is the sound of this thing. It actually sounds like a forged club. It's really, really cool. Very solid feeling. But yeah, the irons that I've got in my bag now, I mean, they're great. Mizuno makes some of the best stuff in the world. So, I mean, you can't really compete with that. But thanks to them for returning as another sponsor for the 2024 season. Sharp Focus Nutrition is another partner of ours, longtime partner. Brinson Paolini over there, he's got a great thing going. We're going to get him on the podcast again. He's got new stuff coming out for Sharp Focus Nutrition. And he's actually making this entire wellness, golf betterment system that he's going to tell you all about. We're hopefully going to get him on after the Masters. He'll tell you more about it. But thanks to them as well for returning as another partner for this year. They, if you don't know what I'm talking about, he's been on the show a few times. He's got a nutritional system. SharpFocusNutrition.com is where you go to learn a little bit more. A lot of detail on there that I can't cover in this spot right now. But if you want to get your game right and you want to get your gut right and you want to get your health in the way it needs to go, nutrition's the way to do it. Sharp Focus Nutrition can help you do that. I think that's going to be it for today, folks. Just wanted to get a quick episode out there today. Enjoy yourselves with your families if you're going out and you're celebrating the holiday. I've yet to play golf this season. The weather here where I'm at has just been ridiculous. I guess I could have went yesterday, but man, I am looking forward to just a stretch of days for more than a week, perhaps, or at least a weekend, that's going to be above 40 degrees. I mean, it's been really interesting. I don't know if this is the same every single year, but I'm telling you, this season seems to be a little slow getting to some sunny days. But once I get out there, I'm excited to play some good golf. Me and a couple buddies are thinking about going on a couple golf trips this year. We'll see how that goes as well. We've got this new puppy. Let me just talk about that really quick. Those of you who follow on Twitter, for example, or X or whatever, we got this new puppy. For the longest time, you guys knew, longtime followers know that we had a lot of pets. And then unfortunately, you know, the older pets, they passed away over the last couple of years. We just got a new puppy. His name's Maddie, or Matt. He came with the name. I like people names for dogs. I'm not crazy about Matt, but you know what? Whatever. He answers to it, and that's really the most important thing. He's a maniac. He's 4 months old now, and we're going through it, man. Me and Mrs. GU, we're going through it. We got everything that we need and more in this puppy experience. It's been a long time since I've had a puppy. The biting finally stopped. We got an outstanding trainer. If you're in the Chicago area, let me just put this out there, okay? This is how this podcast is going off the rails right now. But if you're in the Chicago area and you need a dog trainer, go out to Smart Dogs. I think they're located in, I think it's technically considered Downers Grove. My goodness, they're good. They're pricey. They are pricey, but man, they are worth it. This guy, Ian, is one of the owners. Him and his wife are the owners. Came to our house. He's just this tall dude. He's a huge guy. And he, in 90 minutes, got little Maddie basically to become a different dog. There's still some things we need to work out. The leash training is an issue. We expected the potty training issue. We expected that. This dog, though, he's like a boxer, border collie mix, we think. We're not 100% sure. We're going to do that DNA test. But this dog will walk outside for 20 minutes around the block, up and down the alley, everywhere, and then come inside and then immediately do his business right there in the middle of the living room floor. And it's driving me crazy. But that's puppy stuff, right? We expected that. Hopefully this trainer, Ian, can help us out. But man, they are good. They are really good. I could not say enough good things about smart dogs. So anyway, that's super inside baseball. But we do have this new puppy. You'll probably see some more posts about him if you follow us on social. You may have noticed also on X, I don't know if this is even a big deal anymore, honestly. I don't know what's going on over that. The only reason we're still on Twitter is because of Golf Twitter. It's a very vibrant community on there. We let our premium subscription lapse. I'm sorry. We couldn't do it anymore. The engagement wasn't there. You know, I'm talking about the little blue check mark that everyone wanted for a long time. It's just not there anymore. I don't know what they're doing over at X. But we let it lapse. So if you don't see our stuff for some reason, if it's not getting boosted, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. You could find us other places like on TikTok, where people yell at me, apparently. We could find us on Instagram as well. We also have a Threads. I don't think anyone's using Threads for this purpose, but we're still sticking around Twitter for now because, again, that's where a lot of golf fans are. And we like to be part of the conversation. So I just want to say all that. Thanks to everyone for your continued support here at Golf Unfiltered. We will be back. And remember to subscribe if you haven't already. Tell your friends about it because Nikki's Memoirs for Magnolia Lane series is coming up, as I talked about at the beginning of the show. Again, you don't want to miss it. Outstanding guests, really cool stories. No one else is doing anything like this. So be sure to subscribe. All right, everyone. Enjoy your holiday. Play some good golf if you can. We'll be back again very soon.